From the studios at Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Gemma Gaudet. You're listening to Idaho Matters. The November election is 6 months away, and already the race for Boise mayor, well, it's heating up. Former Boise Police Chief Mike Masterson has tossed his hat into the ring for the job, giving current Boise Mayor Lauren McClain some competition. She has said that she plans to run for a second term. Masterson retired as police chief back in 2015, and our Morning Edition host, George Prentice, wanted to find out why he wants to be mayor of Idaho's capital city. Let's take a listen.
Well, let's get right to it. Was there a particular issue or combination of issues that led you to this big decision?
You know, it was just something overall that my life has been devoted to serving others as a police officer. And in retirement, I've been serving the veteran community and their families. And, you know, you worked hard for the achievements during that time, and you hope to leave a legacy. And I had a pretty good track record of improving safety and livability here in Boise and working with the community to bring things like the 10-to-10 zone on Boise football weekends, or improving downtown safety, you know, a more enjoyable river float, all those issues that truly define what public service is. But the last 3 years have really left me concerned that we're not headed in that right direction that I'd left the organization with. You know, I've just seen crisis, waste, and drift of the current administration in so many areas, from the revisions of the zoning laws to applying short-term solutions to ending homelessness. But the big factor for me has been the absence of transparency and open government. And that is disturbing to me, as it well should be to all Boiseans. And what troubles me is I spent a lot of time earning the public trust, and I think I can restore that public trust in City Hall. As an independent, I'm not obliged to any one party's special interest out there, which allows me to focus on the best interests of the city of Boise. You know, Boise has a bright, promising future, but it can't be at the expense of becoming a clone of other troubled cities. You know, I saw a billboard the other day on State Street when I was driving, and the sign said, "Don't change Boise, let Boise change you." And you know, that's why I came here. I like the recreational opportunities. I like the fact that you walk down the street, people say hi, that it's a safe city. But our city is at an inflection point right now of growth that we need some serious leadership that prioritizes that transparency, ability, and has a successful record of bringing stakeholders together. And that's why I'm running for Boise, to keep Boise, Boise.
Mike Masterson, when you came to Boise to be our chief, the police department, if it wasn't in turmoil at the time, it was pretty darn close. You retired 10 years later. I think it's fair to say that the department evolved considerably in that time. How would you best characterize BPD in 2023?
Yeah, I think the department is in crisis and demoralized. I think that transparency issue, George, really centers on the hiring of the police chief, the hiring and retention, and then the forced resignation of that chief that has, you know, why has it taken so long to get the answers with that? You know, we had the Clearwater County prosecutor render a decision, and only for the council members to find out first time that what was going on there. An organization depends on having a leader at the top that they can trust, that they know what to expect, and they know whose vision is taking them where. And we're in a crisis right now. We have 36 vacant police officer positions that need to be filled. There's a hiring crisis in policing, largely because of the publicity of the last couple of years and officers just becoming dissatisfied and moving on to different careers. But we had never lost police officers to other organizations here in the Treasure Valley like we've had in the past 3 years. And that's troubling to me. And so we need a police chief there that can provide that leadership, that knows how to solve the hiring process, that knows how to work with the community. And I was actually glad to see that Ron Weiniger was nominated to become the chief of the department. But that's a decision that should have happened about 3 years ago when Ron was a finalist for the position, and not choosing a chief that comes from a city that's under a federal consent decree and has all sorts of background issues with lawsuits. That's not the type of leader that we needed here. Ron's a good decision. The only issue that I have is the mayor about 3 weeks ago promised a robust community involvement. And I haven't seen anything where stakeholders like businesses and neighborhood groups and citizens were invited in to hear the chief's vision, to understand how he'll create partnerships for safety, and you know, what he plans to do with solving some of those critical issues in the community. And once again, it was that promise that has not been held up. And so it's a big issue for me. We have 36 officer vacancies right now in the Boise Police Department. When I called around last week and I talked to Meridian, they had 22 vacancies last year and they filled them all. And they have six current vacancies, which are in the process of filling now. So they're doing well. They have a stable leadership at the top. He's Chief Bastarachia is a leader in the Treasure Valley law enforcement community. And we need that type of leader now to step up. And I think that we will get that in Ron Weiniger.
PPD is being investigated. That file is still being open. That in the wake of the discovery of a racist agenda of a former Boise police captain. First off, can I assume that the outside team conducting this probe interviewed you? Did they reach out to you? Yes?
You bet. I'm open with that. I spent about 2 hours and 20 minutes with Michael Bromwich himself talking about that particular individual who tarnished our badge and also the reputations within the department. But we also talked about the culture and the hiring practices and other things as well. It was a good conversation.
But can you appreciate so many folks in the community really scratching their heads when they hear, for instance, from Ron Weiniger, that Matt Ringelson's past was a big surprise to them, and how his racist rhetoric is supposedly a big surprise to the people who spent the most time with him? He was on the force a good amount of your tenure.
Yeah, he was there the entire 10 years that I was here. Yeah, you know, it caught us all by surprise. I mean, you know that. There are people out there with latent agendas that hide their true feelings. There are people out there with mental health issues. And to learn about that in retirement really hurt many of his coworkers, some of whom officers of color, who had no idea that he held these closely guarded views on race and crime and other things. I mean, it was disgusting. But what I was pleased to see is the very first people who spoke out and condemned that actions were the police union and the FOP and the other chiefs in Idaho who said, there is no absolute tolerance for hate in our community or our state. And I really thought that spoke highly of the law enforcement community and what their values are.
Can we assume that you are in touch with rank and file of these last few years, in particular the past year? What's the pulse of rank and file while this investigation is going on?
Well, I mean, there are a lot of them that didn't cooperate. And I'm not sure why. That's their personal decision. There's nothing to hide here. Although, you know, there's general concerns, obviously, when you talk to an investigator that it is perceived was handpicked by the mayor and may have predetermined outcomes. I trust Bromwich. I thought he was a good person to talk to. And, you know, we'll see what happens. But I didn't think that we needed to spend $500,000 and bypass our normal standing policies of getting a request for proposal. We had an equally competent legal community here that we could have reached out to at probably, you know, half the cost or less, and could have came up with solutions and answers to these questions a lot sooner than where we're at now. I mean, there are things to check these days. You check his text messages, you check his emails, you talk to the very closest of his companions at work, you talk to the people that he supervised, you talk to the officers of color. You could have drilled down on this pretty quickly and got to some of those answers. But I think now there are no answers, and we're hearing that there is a request from the law firm to continue their work at an additional cost.
Let's talk about the campaign and the next several months for you. What will your campaign look like?
Well, it's interesting. So, you know, I'm an independent. I'm not specifically tied to any one party's personal agenda or special interest. I mean, my only interest ends up being in what's best for Boise at this point. So I've had to put together a campaign managers and some folks here locally. After nearly 40 years of having policies that prohibited taking gratuities, sometimes even a cup of coffee during that time, I find it challenging to now have to reach out and build a campaign war chest that is somewhere between $400,000 and $500,000. I just find that awkward in terms of going out and talking to people, but it's a necessary evil in terms of getting that support so that I can get my message out to the voters on why I am a better choice than this current administration.
I think most Idahoans would consider themselves independent. That said, we all make a choice each November. So how, other than being independent, how would you best characterize your politics?
You know, I think I'm pretty moderate. You know, one of the blessings of being police chief is I didn't have to disclose what my personal beliefs were or my religious affiliation or any of those personal details, which as you release them to the public, they begin to pick and choose and say, well, he's not like me, or he supports this, or he supports that. I mean, I'm a moderate. I believe in people's rights to choose. I believe in not discriminating against any facet of our community. And I've spoken strongly about that in the past. But yeah, this is going to be this is an interesting time, because I'm finding that my time is in demand to go out and talk to people and get the message out on why I am the best choice and what I can bring to this city in terms of leadership. And of course, today it started with interviews to try to get that information out to the voters.
I guess I shouldn't be surprised, but I am rather stunned at that price tag. I guess that's what it does take to mount a campaign in a city the size of Boise for $500,000.
It's obscene.
Yeah.
Think of the good things that we could do in our community if we could direct that money into expediting the completion of a city park so our people could enjoy it. You know, we're talking about $500,000 on both sides, and that's not counting the independent expenditures that come into play. By the time this is all over, this could be between $1.5 and $2 million. But and you know, we should change the process. I'd be happy to start this September 1st with a limited campaign threshold of maybe $50,000 each. You go make your case to the voters, and the voters go to the polls in November and choose who they want. But my gosh, this also almost takes on the trappings of a federal election, whether it's the Senate or whatever. I mean, we're starting 8 months early to get the message out.
And that was former police chief of Boise, Mike Masterson, who's running for the mayor of the city of Boise, speaking with our own Morning Edition host, George Prentice. Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
What if the greatest tragedy of your life was just covered up?
I've never seen anything like that before or after.
This is the story of the worst marine-on-marine friendly fire in modern history, a story kept from the public.
It's like, what did y'all have to hide?
Listen to NPR's Embedded podcast and its latest series,
taking cover,